11. Wolves and Lions, Bobby at Bat, Officer Raymer, Bobby and Carol, Bad Times, An Envelope. Sully John returned from camp with a tan, 10,000 healing mosquito bites and a million tales to tell. Only Bobby didn't hear many of them. That was the summer the old, easy friendship among Bobby and Sully and Carol broke up. The three of them sometimes walked down to Sterling House together, but once they got there, they went to different activities. Carol and her girlfriends were signed up for crafts and softball and badminton, Bobby and Sully for junior safaris and baseball. Sully, whose skills were already maturing, moved up from the Wolves to the Lions. And while all the boys went on the swimming and hiking safaris together, sitting in the back of the battered old Sterling House panel truck with their bathing suits and their lunches and paper sacks, SJ, more and more often, sat with Ronnie Olmquist and Duke Wendell, boys with whom he had been at camp. They told the same old stories about short-sheeting beds and sending the little kids on snipe hunts until Bobby was bored with them. You'd think Sully'd been at camp for 50 years. On the 4th of July, the Wolves and Lions played their annual head-to-head game. In the decade and a half going back to the end of World War II, the Wolves had never won one of these matches. But in the 1960 contest, they at least made a game of it, mostly because of Bobby Garfield. He went 3 for 3, and even without his Alvin Dark glove, made a spectacular diving catch in center field, getting up and hearing the applause he wished only briefly for his mother, who hadn't come to the annual holiday outing at Lake Canton. Bobby's last hit came during the Wolves' final turn at bat. They were down by 2, with a runner at second. Bobby drove the ball deep to left field, and as he took off toward first, he heard S.J. grunt, "Good hit, Bob," from his catcher's position behind the plate. It was a good hit, but he was the potential tying run and should have stopped at second base. Instead, he tried to stretch it. Kids under the age of 13 were almost never able to get the ball back into the infield accurately, but this time, Sully's Camp Winnie friend Duke Wendell threw a bullet from left field to Sully's other Camp Winnie friend, Ronnie Olmquist. Bobby slid, but felt Ronnie's gloves slap his ankle a split second before his sneaker touched the bag.
"You're out!"
cried the umpire, who had raced up from home plate to be on top of the play. On the sidelines, the friends and relatives of the Lions cheered hysterically. Bobby got up, glaring at the ump, a Sterling House counselor of about 20 with a whistle and a white smear of zinc oxide on his nose.
"I was safe!"
"Sorry, Bob," the kid said, dropping his ump impersonation and becoming a counselor again. "It was a good hit and a great slide, but you were out."
"Was not, you cheater. Why do you want to cheat?"
"Throw him out," someone's dad called. "There's no call for guff like that." "Go sit down, Bobby," the counselor said.
"I was safe," Bobby shouted. "Safe by a mile."
He pointed at the man who had advised he be tossed from the game. "Did he pay you to make sure we lost, that fatso there?" "Quit it, Bobby," the counselor said. How stupid he looked, with his little beanie hat from some Nimrod college fraternity in his whistle. "I'm warning you.